to speak on a subject that I haven't spoken of much. And my reason for not speaking on it much is not because it's not true, but because it is complex and because sometimes it is hard to understand. It can bring a great deal of rejoicing to God, which it should, but there is also the situation where it can bring opposition as well, and ridicule, and sometimes disappointment. So basically what I'm going to tell you is this is not going to be a comprehensive lesson this morning. It can't be, because I do not understand it comprehensively. Some of you will have some things where you can come up and you can say, you know, you should have said this, and I will welcome that, because I think we all should be learners of the Word. Do you agree? So, Lord, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that the Father has spoken, and that by that Word we can know God. I thank you that Jesus has come and reconciled us to the Father, and by that we can know the divine nature. I thank you for His example, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads us and teaches us and guides us and interprets and uses us and helps us as a body understand each other. So be here today, all three of you, because we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my subject, in case you couldn't tell, is healing. And I too want to echo what Kenny said. I think the worship team, not just this week, but every week, does a great job in selecting the songs. I do give them a heads up of where I'm going and what scripture we have, but that makes it harder to choose the songs. Not easier, okay? So I applaud them. But as we saw in our particular scripture, that we have the story of Jesus healing the lame man. In a different gospel, this story starts with him being brought by four of his friends. And that's an important part of this. They bring him, and it's so crowded in Jesus' home that they can't get in. So they climb up on the roof and start removing roof tiles and with ropes drop him right down in front of Jesus. You know, it's kind of like those theater things or Olympic openings or stuff where people are flying in from the air, right? And as Jesus sees this man, it's obvious what they are wanting. By the way, have you got friends like that? The friends got nothing out of it except a healed friend. And it was their faith as much as the faith of the man on the mat that brought about healing. They knew exactly where to take them, and nothing was going to stop them in getting them to Jesus. And that is one thing that I want to say when we are talking about healing. The only responsibility we have is to get them to Jesus. And it's Jesus that does the work. Now, as they are talking, as they are getting into this particular event, I mean, you can imagine, I don't know about you, I haven't seen any construction anywhere where if you remove part of the roof, there isn't dust and debris and things falling, okay? And I imagine there were some not nice things said to the guys on the roof. Opposition will come. Those who want to make you doubt and call you crazy. I am so sick of sickness, I am ready to be called crazy. Aren't you? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I'm sick and tired of you being sick and tired. And sometimes it takes that for us to move beyond our own scruples, our own worrying about how we are, you know, how people are going to view us and what they think about us. Well, away with what they think about me. If we can only care what God thinks about us, and loving other people to the point where we will step out and do what it takes for them to be full and whole and to walk again, this place would be different. When we were overseas in Australia, we drove by a church that had a big banner outside. And it wasn't a big community, but they had this big banner outside, and it said 784 straight days of revival. But I got to tell you, I said, I doubt it. Because we had lived there for 2 years and never heard of that church. I applaud them for wanting revival. But we have to level with ourselves. Are we really doing what God has asked us to do? Are we doing it the way that God has asked us to do it? And are we being faithful in that way and letting the outcome come as a result? Because so many times we want so desperately for other people to know what may be a reality within us. We want people to know that God is real. We want people to know that He heals. And we want people to know that we want it so badly that sometimes we can get out ahead of the Holy Spirit and start proclaiming it when it isn't already. Now, there is room for that as far as a gift of faith, but it is rare. And many times we get out in front of... There's a difference between getting out in front of God and wishful thinking. But if we could, as Paul said, as we heard in the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, we all have the fruit of the Spirit, and we have all the fruit. We should. And the fruit of the Spirit is embodied by the gifts of the Spirit. Everyone has a gift. Don, I'm so glad you remember even what I said last week. You know, what a blessing. Everyone has at least a gift. Very few, if any, have all of the gifts. But Paul made it clear, if there's one that you don't have, you can ask for it. You can earnestly seek it. You can desire it. And that's my preamble for this. I'm not sure I have this that I'm talking about. Now, I have seen healings. I have prayed for people, and they have been healed. But I'm not quite sure that I have the gift of healing. But Paul said, earnestly desire it. And so I'm going to earnestly desire the gift of healing. But the one that is used appropriately. It says here that in the scripture that you heard, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Now, that was in the Jewish culture. Isn't it interesting that he started with that? Because only God could forgive. And they had a kerfuffle back in the back. Okay. Did you hear what he just said? Hey, he's not supposed to. Back in the back. Grumbling and crying. And Jesus says, what's the problem? You're grumbling because I said your sins are forgiven. Well, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say this to this guy who Lord knows how long it's been since he walked, get up and walk. He said, but so that you know, I have authority from heaven. Get up. And he gets up. And the awe of the wonder of what has happened fills that place. Here's the problem with grumbling. There may still be some grumblers who sit back there and say, oh, that's a trick. That's a trick. You know, I don't know how he did it, but that's a trick. Jesus didn't tell him how he did it. He just said, so you know that I have the authority to forgive sins. The act of healing for Jesus was certainly for the good of the person on the mat, wasn't it? And it was certainly for the people who were on the roof, wasn't it? And it was certainly to build the faith for those who would accept it, wasn't it? And so the healing that comes is not just for one individual, but it did bring glory to Jesus, and it definitely brought glory to God the Father. How do we know that? Because he said, I was given, you know, I have the authority. He's pointing to the direct source of it. Jesus' power to heal was, in fact, a proof of his authority to forgive sins. Now, what if he hadn't done that? We might not be here today if we did not have assurance that Jesus has the power from on high to forgive sins and that he can do it through healing. By the way, did you know that all medicine, all healing comes from God? All healing? Some people think that if you go to partake in the medical community, that somehow you are not having faith in God. I have a couple of thoughts on that. The first one is that it comes from a belief that anything scientific is somehow antithetical to faith in God. But if you understand the word science, science is the Greek word for knowledge. Knowledge. You are simply in science trying to figure out so you know how things work. Now, sometimes there are miraculous healings and we have no idea how they work. But humankind, through the pursuit of knowledge of the way things work in the human body, has come up with the medical system that we have now. It's got its flaws, absolutely. But there are some fantastic things too. Sometimes that knowledge, that science, can confirm a miracle. When we were in Findlay, Ohio, there was a young boy that was, his name was brought up for prayer. And he was a young one, younger than 10. I had never met him. He had never been to the church. But we needed to pray for him because he had a body scan. He was having pain, and they found a tumor the size of a hot dog in his abdomen. It's pretty serious, isn't it? They were going to do an operation. The next week, before they did the operation, they scanned one more time, you know, for whatever changes there were. No tumor. It was gone. Now, had God willed, perhaps the gifts of the doctors and the nurses and the anesthetists and the administrators that are in the hospital system may have been the vehicle through which he chose to do his healing. But sometimes God touches in a miraculous way. Sometimes there is a need for a touch in a miraculous way. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But can I assure you, God wants us healed. God wants us whole. That is his primary desire. Sometimes he has greater purpose that we carry it. Okay? And I'll talk more about that. But listen to Psalm 147, 1-3. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and binds up their wounds. God wants us healed. When we are speaking of that, not only does God want us healed, well, let me go back to that for a minute. Why does God want us healed? God saw us and made us in perfection. We were made perfect. God was there when Adam and Eve sinned. And remember what the consequence was. The curse wasn't death. That's the consequence of their inability to follow just a single command. And that consequence was, don't eat of the tree or you will surely die. Now, if you take that, you know that death wasn't a part of their life before that. So death came as a result of sin. Sickness comes as a part of sin. Let's fast forward to the end of Revelation. And what does it tell us? It tells us that sickness and crying and pain will be no more. Whenever it is bracketed like that, that it's something that came because of the fall and that it is relieved because of the coming of the Savior. We know it's because of sin. God does not want us to live under the domain of sin. However, sometimes, again, to reveal God's glory, there is some suffering that is involved. Can we look and honestly say that Jesus didn't suffer? We even sang a song that by his, it's a scripture, it's a in the Old Testament, by his stripes we are healed. You say, well, Jesus wasn't mentioned in the Old Testament. Messiah was, and we believe Jesus is Messiah. So that the penalty for the sickness is paid even by our Savior. Why penalty for our sin? The original sin that brought sickness there, but it's also the case that sickness is sometimes brought on by our own sin. Okay, I will give you an example. There was a young man who was with us in the ministry in Covenant Players, and he left for 4 years so he could go to university. And when he came back, I don't know what happened there, but probably wasn't good. When he came back, he had AIDS. Now, I am sure, I know this man, I am sure if it was something that he did where he contracted AIDS, I know he's repentant of it. This was 25, 30 years ago. He is still alive today, but he still has AIDS. And he still suffers with it. Sometimes the burden is lifted and sometimes it isn't. And sometimes it is a very heavy burden. And I can be honest with you that when some of you are carrying a heavy burden, it becomes a heavy burden for the rest of the congregation. Let me flip it on the other side. We were also overseas, and we stayed with a gentleman in his home. He was single, and he was missing about that much of his little finger. And he proudly, I'll say, confided that he was believing that God was going to grow his finger back out. I have to tell you, I was a little bit dubious about it. Not because I didn't believe God could do it. That's sometimes where I have the problem in discerning. I know God can do it, but does God want to do it? What would the necessity be of replacing the end of a finger? What is the burden that is caused for that? And how would that bring glory to God? Faith is a deep desire to find a way. That's why I can speak confidently about the medical community. If you think that those doctors and nurses and people who are in the medical community get to it without trying to find a way to aid in the healing of people, you are wrong. It is a long, hard, and arduous journey to be able to do those jobs. It's an important journey, but even within that, can I tell you, there are people who know that they are gifted by God to do what they do to facilitate healing. Did you know that? Not all of them. Some of them don't understand how the healing comes. There are some doctors who think all, you know, the healing comes through them until they hit a point where they can do nothing. There are some who know that it's God who does it, and have to go through, despite their best effort, the mourning for the loss of a patient. Some people say, that's quite chaotic, isn't it? How can God be in that? Well, faith is still a part of the medical process, no matter what we know, because we don't know everything. But I can tell you, every surgery is a faith venture. Every person participating in that surgery has faith that there will be the possibility of being whole again at the end of that. Even some surgeries that were a deep faith adventure 20 years ago are now called routine. You know what routine means when they stick it on a surgery? We still have faith in it, but we've seen that faith work 100,000 times. The first cataract surgery was very dangerous, but it is routine today. The first heart valve replacement was unheard of. This was miraculous stuff at the hands of the surgeons and the medical community. And I won't say it's routine today, but it's much less dangerous and more filled with faith today than it ever has been. Mark 5:34. Jesus was talking, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." You know who he's talking to? The woman who had the issuance of blood, who had suffered for 12 years, who had been an outcast for 12 years, who had spent everything she had on doctors. Now, let me tell you, the scripture does not speak against doctors or anyone in the medical community. All it does is outline the limitations of what doctors can do. And as believers, we have a resource that we know can go beyond what doctors and nurses can do. Now let me repeat the purpose. In Matthew 11:5, it is listed a scripture that is also in the Old Testament. This is also a scripture that's given to John the Baptist. Did you know that John the Baptist he's in Herod's prison. He knows he's about to be executed, and he needs to make sure that his message has not been in vain. Isn't that something? A preacher of preachers doubting whether he supported the right one, because he sends his disciples over to Jesus and says, he just wants to know, listen to this, are you really the one? He's about to lose his life, and he wants to know if you're really the one. And some of us, when we face the health crisis that we have, isn't that what we want to know? Are you really the one? And Jesus quotes this. He sends him back and says, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." In another part, it says, "The prisoners are set free." Jesus pointed to the impossible healings to show that he is the one. John 12:17. "Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word." We need to talk about what Jesus is doing. Now I'm going to read a scripture that gives us a simple process. And you know, last week I said that sometimes we have to be ready for the Holy Spirit to interrupt things and change things a little bit. Ron, come on up. Ron, yeah. Ron asked if he could give a testimony today, okay? So I think this is an appropriate spot, because what have we seen here? That these things happen, and then when things happen, they give testimony so that it is for the glory of God the Father, okay? Is that where you want to be? Let me get a microphone for you. I think this is 6.
How many of you believe in prayer?
I was going to ask that.
Last week I had Pastor Mike to pray for me that I might be able to get an oxygen box. I'd already been told that my insurance wouldn't cover it, but I had the faith to tell Pastor Mike to ask you to pray about this box. Look here. Woo! I just want to thank you for praying for me.
Yeah.
And always pray for the people on that prayer list.
Amen.
Thank you.
I don't know if I've got the gift of healing yet, but evidently I've got the gift of provision. So, but any step forward for us is a good thing. I want you to know that there is a simple process that in the New Testament that is there. We pray, we have a prayer chain, but I want you to listen to this and see what's missing, okay? And it's very simple. It's not hocus pocus. It's not magic. It's just what we've been told by James. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. I told you that sometimes it's the things that we do that causes sin. I know some very repentant former smokers. There are some things where I know some people who have bodily injuries from driving too fast and having a wreck when they were young. There are all things that we all regret, aren't there? And there are things that we do that are detrimental to ourselves. But it is the Lord who, if we have faith, we can offer prayer. Now, what was missing? You know, we don't call the elders together. We don't lay hands on. We haven't anointed with oil. I would like to suggest maybe we should start doing some of that. Not because it's the magic formula, but just because it says that we should do that. And that the prayer offered in faith, there's a whole depth of an issue. I'm going to talk about that more next week. But the prayer offered in faith is not judged by what the outcome is. The prayer offered in faith is the style of prayer that is given. Faith in what? If your faith is that this healing will happen just because I prayed for it and I really believe that it's going to happen, I would suggest to you that it goes beyond that. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed a prayer of faith, where he knew he had access to the throne of God. So he came. He asked, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." Here's the deep faith part. Nonetheless, if it is your will be done, not mine. Why could he pray that? Because he was assured that he will always have life, even when we face death. And I would also say that sometimes we can have radical faith. Radical faith where everybody else is a detractor, but you just keep right on going. Stephen had that. Acts 6, 8 through 9. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Woohoo! He was a popular guy, right? Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. Why is where they are from important? Because it represented the whole world. The whole world will argue with you. You can even give testimony that there has been healing. A hot dog-sized tumor, gone. Oh, well, there must have been a malfunction in the equipment. Oh, they must have read it wrong. Excuse me, we've got the scan. Oh, there must have been something that happened wrong. It wasn't really a healing. Well, what is it when you heal someone through a surgery? Was that a mistake? Anyway. We are all human beings, and we're more prone to doubt than anything else. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, but I want to confirm that opposition will arise. Sometimes, basically, it never goes the way you think, okay? Healing never goes the way you think. We don't have instructions. Put the oil on your thumb, put it in the middle of their forehead, make the sign of the cross, and they will be healed. How much oil? Where do you apply it? You know, it doesn't say. It just says, lay your hands on them and apply the oil. Some are healed immediately. The woman at the well, the woman at touching the hem of his garment. Some healings take time. Jesus made mud with spit and put it on the guy's eyes, and he said, "How's that?" And he said, "Oh, I see a little bit, but the men are like trees walking around." So he had to put more on. Jesus had to put more on. Sometimes the believer needs to get right. The disciples were not able to cast out a demon from a boy because they hadn't engaged in enough fasting and prayer. Sometimes the sick one has to really want it. There was a lame man who had been by the pool of Siloam for years. And the pool of Siloam was known that when the waters were stirred, the first one in got healed because it was the angels stirring the water. And Jesus says to this man, "Why aren't you healed? How come you haven't gotten in?" And he says, "Oh, you know, anytime the waters are stirred, someone always gets in before me." He had been there years. And here's what Jesus asks him. "Do you want to get well?" You know them, the people who are always sick with something. But can I suggest to you, sometimes the people who are always sick with something is because no one gives them attention and love and concern without it. And that is not an indictment on them. That's an indictment on us. And if they could walk away knowing that they are loved whether they're sick or not, that could be life-changing for them. Some are never healed. Paul told Timothy he needs to take a glass of wine every night because his stomach is bothering him. Trophimus was sick and not healed and had to be left behind in Miletus. Paul mentioned a thorn in the side that he prayed that God would take away, and God's response was this: "My grace is sufficient for you." For the man with the small finger, with the short finger, I would say, God's grace is sufficient for you, whether you are healed or not. And for you that have the burden, God's grace is sufficient for you. Psalm 107, 19 to 22. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy." Songs of joy. Stand up and sing.